Hello, beloved audience, and welcome to another episode of From the Shelf. I am one of your three hosts, Annalise, and I'm joined by my two brothers once again.
I'm on tilt.
I'm Anthony.
What does that mean? What is on tilt?
You'll find out as this video goes on.
Anyway, so today we are taking a look at one of my favorite movies, Labyrinth.
This movie's great. Why are you awing?
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, it's great if your IQ's in the single digits.
I have a decent IQ.
The thousands of fans beg to differ, Frankie.
Yeah, well, they're all fucking morons, okay?
You like the fanatic? I don't want to hear any.
Oh, I know. No. The fanatic.
That's an interesting movie.
There's nothing good about it! It's boring until the end, but we're not talking about that film.
Oh.
I'd say we're not talking about that today. So this film was created by Jim Henson, the Henson Company, and George Lucas, of all people.
And you had a Monty Python writer in there.
No, oh, I didn't know about that. So before we jump into it, let's go ahead and talk about our cast. So we have a pretty, I guess now star-studded, but I mean it already had a really big star in it for the time it was created. David Bowie I would call him like the second lead, not like the main.
Let's be honest, he is the lead here.
He's the main top billing. He's the main antagonist of the movie.
Yeah.
But he's the selling point of the film.
Yeah, but top billing doesn't mean main character.
True.
His face is all over the marketing for it.
Yeah, and all over the film.
Yeah, but the main character is actually Jennifer Connelly's character.
Yesterday, when I was I already had all my notes together and stuff, but for some reason yesterday when I was like thinking about the movie, I kept calling her Sarah Connelly because her name is Sarah in the movie, but her name is Jennifer Connelly.
What is that? It sounds very similar to Sarah Connor.
She's married to Vision.
Paul Bettany, yep.
Yeah, she is. I think they met on the set of A Beautiful Mind, or I don't know if they were together.
Yeah, I think that's where they met. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Jesus Christ, this bitch can't act in this movie.
She's so whiny.
This is like her second film!
Doesn't mean she's good!
She gets better as the film goes on.
No, she does not!
Yes, she does! She drops that shitty fake British accent.
That's the Lucas effect.
That's the Luke. Yeah, that is the Lucas effect. I swear to God.
Oh my God, this bitch. Oh.
She's a pretty bad character in the grand scheme of things.
I am 50-50 on Sarah. So
she's not a good character, let's be honest.
No, she's really not. Every time
the goblins would take you away, you're a friend. Right. Fuck you.
Your little brother's probably hungry or needs to be changed. Like, no, he's
probably teething. He's a young little baby. Like,
what's that? Nah, fuck this kid. He's a little shit.
I hope these fucking goblins come and destroy him.
Okay. he deserves to die.
Speaking of babies, I actually have a little baby with me here right now that I'm babysitting.
Okay, hold on. Let's stop it right there. Annalise, I appreciate the effort you're going into this Labyrinth review. You didn't need to kidnap a baby.
Kidnap a baby?
Yeah.
Listen. I'm trying to attract David Bowie, okay?
He's dead! Although knowing Bowie, he would probably transcend that.
He'll visit me in my dreams.
Oh, God.
So I have to go to the length to get a baby.
But you would have to so you're kidnapping the baby. Then you gotta wish it away by the goblins.
I don't know. She's too cute to wish her away.
I'm trying to understand this. You played the part of David Bowie, but you're now gonna play the part of Sarah.
Yes.
This reboot of Labyrinth is highly confusing.
It's me. I'm the star of the new Labyrinth reboot.
Oy vey. So do we want to get started on this?
Yes, I wanted to talk about the cast a little bit more. So we have David Bowie, we have Sarah, oh my god, Sarah Connelly. I
actually
did it again.
I guess I might as well bring this up now about Bowie in my notes. Go so, ahead. Early on, they were wondering if they were going to make the Goblin King an actual goblin or a human. And then, according to Henson in the behind the scenes, early on, they decided to make him like a rock star. And some of the choices they had for who would play him would be Michael Jackson, Sting, Prince, of all people. And I'm just wondering, why wasn't Paul McCartney in the running for that?
Oh my god, Paul McCartney as the Goblin King?
I can see it now, Paul going over the script. Excuse me, Kermit, I had some thoughts on the script.
My name's not Kermit, it's Jim.
Anyway, Kermit, I was wondering, am I supposed to be in love with the 12-year-old girl? And I have a few comments on the costume. Is the cold piece necessary?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely necessary.
I don't think I want to be in this film. No, excuse me, I have to go record a song called Temporary Secretary.
Oh my god.
And that's how it would have gone down!
And that's how he got to the recording of Temporary Secretary.
Yes, that's what it's all been about.
It's all connected. It's
all connected.
You know,
I think Temporary Secretary was 82 or something like that.
I'm not sure about that.
I think Temporary Secretary had long been... I think McCartney 2 had been released way before this film, but still.
Oh my god.
Temporary Secretary transcends anything.
Temporary Secretary.
We are going off the rails here. That's just the beauty of David Bowie's package.
Oh god.
Which you will see a lot in this film if you watch it.
It's right there. It is right
there. It's the third main character of this film. I just wonder if that was puppeted by Frank Oz.
It has to be. It's too out there not to be. You
it's
know?
The missing Muppet, Stiffy.
Oh my god. So, besides from David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly, Brian Henson was also a part of this film. He puppeted Hoggle.
And he voiced Hoggle.
Yes, and he voiced Hoggle too.
I think it was like his big character breakout. I could be wrong on that, though.
You mean Miss Piggy wasn't?
Brian Henson?
No.
Frank Oz did Miss Piggy.
Did Miss Piggy. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes and I'm seeing Frank Oz, but we're talking about Brian Henson. Sorry.
Well, this is definitely before when he took over for a little bit and before Muppets Night, so a bunch of his characters hadn't shown up yet, but I don't know if he did any side characters in between the Great Muppet Caper, because that's when I know he first started working with his father.
Right. I always thought...
But I think we can figure that out if we do another Muppet review.
I always forget that they're father and son.
How do you forget Brian Henson's Jim Henson's son?
I thought they were brothers!
What?
I don't know! Remember that I always, like, the way that I thought about them, I thought they were brothers. I didn't know that they were... father and son for the longest time. I mean, I know that
I don't
now.
Know if Jim had any siblings. I'm looking him up now.
I don't know. I don't know how, but I guess for some reason I always thought they were brothers, but I guess...
No, I think Jim was an only child.
Oh. I didn't know that. I don't know how, but like it always clicked in my head like when I was a kid that they were brothers and not father and son. I mean, I know now they're father and son, obviously.
He has an older brother. Or he did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, his older brother died in 56, right around the time Jim was getting started.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. Frank, you were talking about Brian and Jim Henson.
Oh, cool.
We had Frankie had some technical difficulties, but I think he's back now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Stupid Discord. Anyway.
We're all good with that. So, Brian Henson, Hoggle, he puppeted and voiced Hoggle. Frank Oz, obviously, with the Henson Company, you always gotta have Frank Oz.
What is he doing in this? Is he just like a producer, or is he actually doing some puppeteer work? Because I don't think he's voicing anyone in this.
I don't believe he's voicing anybody.
Frank Oz did the puppet of the wise man.
Oh, the old man with that bird on his head?
Yeah, Frank Oz did the puppeteering of him, but he didn't voice him.
Yeah, I don't think he voiced anybody. He probably puppeteered a lot of them.
Elmo's in this movie.
Yeah, this is actually Elmo's first time working with the Henson Company, technically, because he did help them out in a Thanksgiving parade show. That's how he actually met Jim. Mm.
Elmo's Big Adventure.
So this is before he did Elmo.
This is literally Big Adventure.
Yeah, this is literally right before he got Sesame Street, and then he had like maybe a year or two on Sesame Street. Then he got Elmo.
Okay.
When I was looking at the cast list, it actually listed Warwick Davis, but I don't know who he played. I'm assuming he just played maybe like a goblin or something. He wasn't like
maybe
say he wasn't credited as anything else.
I mean, it makes sense that Warwick would be in this because George looked out for him when he was starting out in his career.
Oh, okay. Well, now that we have some of the major cast lists out of the way, let's dive right into the movie. So we start out with a girl running through this like park, and she's LARPing. Literally, like, LARPing.
I do not buy Jennifer Connelly as a LARPer. She is... No.
Well, it's Jennifer Connelly, but...
Oh, don't worry about what Jennifer Connelly does on the weekend.
Time out. Annalise, I just figured out. Warwick Davis and Kenny Baker, R2-D2, were part of the Goblin Army.
Ah, okay.
So they were the Goblin suit actors. With the Goblins, it's a mixture of people in suits and Muppets.
Yeah. Okay.
Anywho.
Yeah,
I
mean...
Throw that out there. That's actually pretty cool that Wicket and R2-D2 are in this film.
Yeah, no, I figured that's what they were doing. But
I just found that out today, so thank you, Annalise. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we start out with Sarah in the park, and she is reading from her little, like, script book, and she can't remember these lines. She always gets to the end part, and she can never remember the lines, and apparently
but
that's very important.
She's carrying the book!
I see, she's holding the book, but... She's trying to memorize it, so she's not, like, looking at the book.
She is the worst LARPer I've ever seen.
She just needs some practice. Anyway, it starts to rain, so she has to go with her dog and run home.
The sounds of David Bowie music.
Yeah, David Bowie music. He... Don't even... I love him.
This soundtrack is amazing, Frankie. I have it on vinyl.
Okay,
it is great.
Okay.
The score and the songs composed by Bowie are great.
David Bowie is a great artist.
I can't remember a single song from this goddamn movie.
Are you serious?
And I hurt you as a child.
You!
So anyway, Sarah runs home, and she's greeted by her stepmother at the door, who really isn't that bad.
Okay, let me stop you there.
Okay.
This is never, ever mentioned again.
Like her parents and like her stepmother?
Why does she have such an issue with her stepmother? It's never addressed again.
Honestly, I guess I'll bring this up now. In the book, the novelization of this, it's like made to believe that Sarah's actual mother just up and ditched her and her father for her co-worker who's an actor.
Is that what happened?
In the book, it can more clarify.
I thought the movie implied that she died.
That's
what I always thought. I always thought the mother died.
No, apparently in the novelization, the mother just upped and abandoned them.
But the thing is, you never see Jennifer Connelly's character reflect on her mother.
Oh, no, you don't. Absolutely. So honestly, this hate for her stepmother and her half-brother... are completely unjustified.
I say it's unfounded. She doesn't treat Sarah like horribly. Wanting her to watch the baby.
I can't do anything right.
You always
go out.
Can't
do anything right, can I?
I wish I would be away from this place.
So... Oh my gosh!
Well,
but
future Oscar winner.
Yeah, somehow.
but, granted, Natalie Portman also said the lines of Anakin, you're breaking my heart, and she won awards later, so the world balances out for these actors, I guess.
Are you an angel?
Ugh. That's a video for a different day.
That,
but
we need to get to those films eventually.
Yes. So Sarah dries off. She's all like wet from being in the rain and stuff. So she dries off and she's in her room. And this is where I want to talk about like her mother, because this is where we get to see the most of little hints about the labyrinth and her mother. So on her vanity, there's a picture. Sarah's mother was an actress. Or I guess is. I really don't know if she left or if she died.
I don't know. I gotta get you the book of that so you can read it and let me know, because I don't feel like reading the novelization of the film.
So, but on Sarah's, like, vanity, there's newspaper clippings and pictures, and it's of her mother. But also, since her mother was an actress, she had her co-stars. I'm assuming she was, like, a stage actress. But her co-star is actually David Bowie. Like, I don't know if he's like playing himself
playing some act. It's very weird. So, and also the book she's reading in the beginning is called The Labyrinth.
Yes,
you see like the dolls are going to be the characters she meets. There's a statue of the dress she's going to wear later. So it's like, is The Labyrinth a dream? Did she like dream the entire thing?
Right, like,
and that just raises more questions, given the fact that the novelization, Sarah's mother abandoned her family for David Bowie. So Sarah imagines David Bowie having the hots for her. It's very
like problematic.
This
and
girl has issues.
Yeah, I don't even know. It's so strange when you think about it like that. And if that's the actual like canon of the story, but you see like Sir Didymus at the little plushie in her room, and I think
Ludo's there. I think everything you're gonna see is in the background in her room.
Yeah, it's somewhere in her room. Okay, so her parents leave for the evening because they're going out, and that's why they wanted her to babysit. And her little brother Toby just won't stop crying. I swear.
But again, he's a baby.
He's a little baby.
Like you said, he's probably teething. Maybe he needs to be changed. Maybe he needs to eat.
Hey, what's her name? Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's something you need to understand. Babies cry. Shut up.
Exactly. Like babies are going to cry.
It's an intentional attack on Sarah. It's all part of a plot against her.
Toby's playing against Sarah, yeah.
Holds out to get me, I swear to fucking God.
Well, like, his cheeks look red, so I have to assume he's, like, teething. He's probably in pain, or he's tired. Like, girl.
He could just be hungry. Who the hell knows?
Exactly.
The point is, he's a baby, and she just completely overreacts.
Yes. So she's making a joke, and she's like, I wish they would come and take you away right... I wish the goblins would come and take you away right now. And then there's a scene of the goblins in the closet. He's like, did she say it?
It's not subtle. It's just immediate jump cut to a bunch of Muppets.
Right.
I have a theory about this movie.
Uh-huh.
None of this actually happened. It's all a fever dream. All a coke dream.
Oh, no. Okay, I agree. I agree with that. I don't think this is actually happening, though the ending, we'll get to that when it comes. I think this is all in her head.
It's very plausible that it could be, but I was never...
What do you mean?
Like, every time I watch this movie, like, I don't know.
With her room, all the pieces that are going to show up in the labyrinth, the
right,
pictures...
Like, you're telling me that they're like, there? Like,
pictures
no.
of Bowie, like, it's gotta be she got into her father's pain medicine cabinet and took a bunch of painkillers. That's the real ending.
Toby was giving her a headache, so she popped some pills.
It all makes sense.
Her
now.
Father comes walking in and sees her on the floor foaming at the mouth.
It's
magic dance.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But, you know, they had to cut that ending.
So,
I'm gonna be 100% honest with you.
What?
I thought about turning the movie off here.
What?
No!
She's giving up the baby?
Like, I've never been simultaneously bored and aggravated at the same time watching a movie. But oh my god.
But anyway, so
Goblin King,
wherever you may be, take this child of mine far away from me. And then they're like, and the goblins in the closet, like, no, that's not right. Like, we can't take him. You didn't say the right thing. So she is about to like leave the room, and she goes and turns off the light. She's like, I wish they would come and take you away right now. And then she turns off the light. She goes into the hallway. Baby immediately stops crying. And then
not waste any time getting that kid.
Nope, not at all. They swooped in. They got that kid.
And right after she, I'm telling you, right after she closed the light, shut the lights and closed the door, she went to that medicine cabinet.
You know what? Well, it didn't show her doing anything else. She was in the hallway.
It's all part of her drug-fueled dream. She doesn't have to. That's the twist. That's the Terry Jones ending.
So the goblins take away Toby, and then David Bowie appears.
Okay, I just
in a fit of sparkle.
He comes in knowing he's gonna make women cream their pants every time they watch this film.
Oh my god!
He knows he's just gonna have a bigger female fan base after this film.
David Bowie is the stuff of dreams. So he tells Sarah's like, "Where's my brother?" And David Bowie, his name is Dareth, the Goblin King, but we're gonna call him David Bowie because that's who he's playing.
He's not a character. He's just Bowie.
Yeah, it's just David Bowie. But anyway, he explains to her. He's like, "I have the baby in my castle, and you can't get him." But she's like, I need my brother back. Like, girl, you were literally just wishing him away.
Yeah, but then I get grounded and I won't be able to LARP anymore.
Yes, so. She won't be able to LARP anymore. So she's like, tell me how to get my brother back. And he tries to offer her this, like, bubble crystal-looking thing.
Get used to that.
Yeah, that happens a lot. It's not even that special. It's literally, he says,
but if you turn it this way,
you can see, look into your dreams.
It's not Bowie moving that crystal. That's someone else literally having his hand shoved on the side of David Bowie, and the dude can't even see what he's doing, so that's just all muscle memory how he's doing that trick.
Yeah, it's like David Bowie's not even doing it. I actually just found out about that a few days ago.
My immersion is ruined!
What?
My immersion is ruined.
But hot damn, like, if they do that today, you know that ball would be CGI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely would be. And one part that kind of confuses me is that once she was like, no, I don't want the crystal, he throws a snake at her.
She defied him. I mean, that's the natural thing to do. You throw a snake and then it becomes a scarf and then a goblin comes out of it.
Yeah.
You people, hold on. Let me stop you there. Did you say the natural thing to do when someone defies you and throw a snake at them?
In a magical world, I guess.
Do you realize how rapey that sounds?
We'll get to that later in the film, actually.
Oh my god. But anyway, Sarah's like, no, I need to get my brother. What can I do? He was like, okay, well, I guess you have 13 hours to get through this labyrinth and find your brother in the middle of Goblin City, in my castle.
I'm also going to keep fluctuating with the time, so good luck.
What? So Sarah finally enters the labyrinth.
Yes, Sarah enters the labyrinth and becomes the most whiny, annoying girl I've ever seen on film.
Isn't this where she meets that weird goblin guy?
Hoggle, he's not a goblin. He's a dwarf.
I say he's not a goblin because he's not fully under Jareth's control. But yes. Yeah, so before she enters the labyrinth, she sees Hoggle and he's peeing in like I don't even know what it is. It's like
a little pond.
Water. Yeah, it's like a little pond, and he's nuking fairies.
Well, that sucker's just straight murdering them.
As what, as you do.
Well, I mean, after what we find out what the fairies do, could you blame him?
Yeah, I mean, one of the fairies bit Sarah, so I was like, gas that little biatch. But Hoggle helps Sarah get into the labyrinth, and then leaves her on her own, and she's just running through this labyrinth, not getting anywhere, and she's just whining the whole time. Oh, it isn't fair! It isn't fair! Girl, give me a break. Give me a damn break. So,
is this when the worm shows up?
Yes, and
Conley's expression when the worm starts talking, it just suddenly hits her. She's in a movie with talking Muppets, with talking songs.
Like, what the fuck?
She literally has this look like, oh my god, I'm in a Lamb Chop sing along.
The worm. I love the worm. And one of my friends that I showed this movie to, she loves the worm. Who, me? Nah, I'm just the worm. Oh my god, Anthony, it's Paul McCartney!
Oh, I'm just a worm, you know. That should have been his part of work. No, don't, because that's why, sir, that would have led you straight to the Goblin Fortress. Would you like to hear my song yesterday?
That is so annoying to me, where he's like, no, don't go that way! And then he goes the other way, he's like, that would have led her straight to the castle! I'm like, oh my god!
But it's at this moment when you first see David Bowie's bassist everywhere throughout the labyrinth. So he's just constantly spying on her.
Okay, he's watching her the entire time.
And God knows we don't want to know what he's doing with his magic ball.
I know what I'm doing with my magic ball.
Oh my god.
That's disgusting.
You're nasty.
I apologize. My dog wants something.
So, I can't fully remember. This is where she gets to the two, like, door people, right?
No, right after the worm scene is Dance Magic Dance.
Is it really?
Oh, jeez!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Oh, god, no!
How can you hate Dance Magic Dance?
It's absolutely iconic.
It made me want to curb stomp children. I hated it.
It's literally a David Bowie Muppet Show sketch!
I don't even like David Bowie!
You not How? Like David Bowie.
I don't like David Bowie.
How does any human hate David Bowie?
Same kind of human being who hates the Beatles. So,
anyway, so we...
You have no sense of culture, do you?
Not the same type of culture you like, no.
So we get our first, like... Oh my goodness.
The first song in the film.
Yes, really. The first, like, musical number in the film
comes out of nowhere. Just completely comes out of fucking nowhere.
He's not wrong.
No, it does kind of come out of nowhere.
It really has nothing to do with what's going on. It's just, well, we have Bowie here. Might as well get a song.
Honestly, there's not a lot of musical numbers in the movie, but they all just kind of come out of nowhere.
The one in the staircase doesn't really.
That one actually works.
The movie doesn't even act like a musical, that all of a sudden it is.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying with that part, because it doesn't play like it would be a musical.
It doesn't. It's literally just a David Bowie Muppet Show sketch.
I mean, I like the Muppets, but I can't say I like David Bowie.
I'm sorry. What? David Bowie can't really dance.
No, he cannot.
Are we going to talk about the puppetry going on in his pants?
No, Anthony, we are not!
But his package is front and center.
I don't want to talk about it! I don't!
The internet expects us to talk about it because everyone's talked about it.
I don't want to talk about David Bowie's dick. I don't want to do it.
Major Tom to ground control, get off the blue pill!
I mean, there's not much else we could say about it that everybody else hasn't said before.
Should have taken the red pill.
Maybe but, time to ground control, tell my wife I love her very much.
But, so this is where she gets to the guard doors, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This part always confuses me, because I can never figure out this damn riddle.
Here's Okay, so if one lies and the other one tells the truth, then shouldn't the one that told her what they are is the one that's truthful?
You would think so, but he could be lying.
Here's what I think, okay?
So the riddle is one of us tell, like, the guards on the door, they go, one of us tells the truth and the other one always lies.
Here's
so why don't you just get the both of them and say, hey, are you the...
What?
Because here's the thing. If one's always telling the truth and one always lies, you could ask them both and they'll both say the same thing. And you don't know which is which. That's the point they're trying to get across. I understand that. What I think is this is just a stupid concept!
It's the labyrinth. It's not supposed to make sense.
Yeah, it's like Wizard of Oz mixed with Alice in Wonderland at this... I'm trying to figure out, like, there's definitely a way to figure out what's the right answer here.
People have said they think they figured out the right answer, but every time I watch, like, a YouTube video on it, I still, like, get confused. I don't understand. And neither did the baby.
Is that what that is?
I mean, there is a way she could do it. She could literally just ask both of them, what color shirt am I wearing? The one that lies would obviously have to tell her she's not wearing a white shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, that could be a way.
Like, okay, and then it doesn't say she's limited to just one question.
Right, and she literally could
just go to both of them like, hey, what color shirt am I wearing? One says white, the other one says, I don't know, green. All right, which way do I go?
Yeah, and then so she ends up picking the wrong door, and she falls through a pit, and it's like helping hands. They are groping her.
Oh God, yeah.
But what I don't get about that is that she knows she made the wrong choice. So why didn't she just tell the helping hands to bring her back up, and she just could have gone through the other door?
I think it's been established her character isn't that smart.
And she is dumb.
Every time she says it's a piece of cake, something horrible goes down.
Yeah. Like, I always think about that. I was like, the helping hands, they could have brought her back up, and she could have just gone through the other door. So it doesn't make sense. But then, anyway.
The Hidden Temple, Legends of the Hidden Temple with Almack from Nickelodeon.
So the helping hands drag her down, and she goes into oubliette. That's what it's called, an oubliette. And Hoggle is there.
They're all the talking head from freaking Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Their heads aren't in the oubliette.
Mega Force.
They get out of the oubliette first, and then there's the talking heads.
I mean, these things are about as useful as Gosei from Power Rangers Mega Force.
Mm-hmm. But
they are. They do look like the talking heads from Legends of the Hidden Temple.
So Hoggle helps her get out of the oubliette and away from the heads, and then they run into this, like, beggar-looking...
I don't know, that beggar looks awfully sparkly.
A little sparkly for a beggar! And, I can't remember, like, what they say to him, but,
nothing?
Yeah. So, someone says nothing, and then it's David Bowie in disguise. He goes, nothing, 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 fra-la-la.
this line is the one that sticks out to me and Annalise.
Yeah, we
quote it. So ridiculous.
It's so stupid. Why did he say that?
This is a song residuals.
Yeah. So he goes to Sarah, he's like, how are you enjoying my labyrinth? And stupidly, she's like, oh, it's so simple.
Can we just talk about how she just looks down at his crotch? My eyes are up here, Sarah.
Stop looking at it, Sarah.
Do you want to touch my bowl?
No! Oh my gosh. But so she says, oh, it's a piece of cake. So then
something bad happens.
Yeah, something bad happens. David Bowie sends the cleaners on Sarah and Hoggle.
And they
narrowly escape. And then, sorry, looking through my notes.
This is where they went into the wise man, and I wrote in my notes, oh no, Gandalf! What did they do to Gandalf?
Yeah, they run into this old man, and Sarah tries asking him questions, but he really doesn't prove to be useful in any way.
He's kind of half asleep the entire time.
Yeah, he has this, like, bird thing on his head.
But then, in case you forgot, Bowie was in this film. It cuts back to Bowie just watching her.
Yeah, literally just watching her.
Like, that's the thing. The film will just, at random points, cut back to David Bowie just sitting around with the goblins, not doing anything.
Literally not doing anything. Maybe, like, messing around with Toby or something. But that's it. Like, he's just sitting there.
I remember he's in the film.
Yeah. Because they cut from it for a really long time. But Hoggle, basically, he's like, you know what? No, I'm done. This is stupid.
Too rich for my blood.
Yeah. So Hoggle leaves Sarah, and they're separated. And then Sarah runs into, or well, no, she doesn't run into. She saves another creature called Ludo from these, like, weird, I don't even, like, Mexican, like, goblin army, like, things. I don't even know. I don't even know what
they're
they
are. They're part of the goblin army.
Yeah. But they have, like, Mexican accents.
Do they?
Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to.
Yeah, one of them will go, oh, my ick at the footsie! So, I don't even know, but she, like, she throws rocks at these little goblins and saves Ludo.
Well, okay, she gets the rocks. Oh, no, that'll come back later.
She throws, like, these rocks at the goblins, and she saves Ludo, and
they become friends.
Yeah, and they're friends. Ludo's interesting. What? Ludo is interesting. He looks like the Balrog.
He looks
like the Balrog mixed with, like, Moloch from Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance.
Because of the horns, right?
Well, Moloch didn't have horns, but the Balrog had horns.
Yeah.
It's just very nice that his brother got work in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, he looks like that thing, too.
What happens after that? I've got to look through my notes, I'm sorry.
This is when the peach comes in.
No, well, yes, but also the peach comes into play later.
When hands toggled a peach.
Yes.
By a peach? I don't know.
Yeah, Jareth meets up with baby's pissing, I'm sorry.
But Jareth, it's at that point though where Jareth starts to show romantic, like, attractions to Sarah.
In Sarah.
Now he suddenly is like, if she ever kisses you, I'll turn you into a prince. Why do you care? All of a sudden.
Prince of the Land of Stench.
Cha-la-la.
It's such a random ass threat, like.
Well, he keeps threatening to put Hoggle in the Bog of Eternal Stench.
Just threatening to kill him!
Maybe the Bog of Eternal Stench is worse.
The Bog of Eternal Stench is a fate worse than death.
So...
That's where the Star Wars sequels are.
Oh!
So, Sarah and Ludo get separated, and Sarah runs into this, like... Oh, I hate this scene. It's this really weird group of puppets. They're called the Fire Gang.
This scene's unfortunate.
Yeah, those things are, this is part of why I think this movie's a fever dream.
I hate it. The Fire Gang sequence is probably one of the worst in the movie in terms of the background, and I hate it.
Well, it just shows how ambitious Henson was, but he didn't have the technology to pull it off.
Right. Right. At the time, they just weren't able to pull this off. No,
and they really go into how much trouble they had filming this scene in the behind-the-scenes documentary. And
so my thing is, why just not cut the scene out?
Yeah, you literally could cut the scene and nothing is lost.
Yeah, literally. Like, there's nothing in that scene that contributes really to the rest of the movie.
Well, it just shows, like, Henson just got really stubborn. It's like, no, I'm freaking putting this shit in. I'm doing this scene. I ain't gonna lose to this.
And it shows. It's not a good sequence.
There's some things you don't have the if you don't have the technology for, you just don't have the technology for.
Right.
Yeah, there comes a point where you're at the cutting room floor. If you can't do something, just don't do it.
For example,
Mortal Kombat Annihilation, they probably just shouldn't have done that stupid dragon.
That's for another review.
Oh, yes.
That day is coming.
Yeah. But Hoggle ends up saving Sarah from the fire gang, and Sarah kisses him, which puts them both in the Bog of Eternal Stench. This is where they meet Sir Didymus and Ambrosius. And this is also one of my friend. Like, this is another one of her favorite characters. She loves Sir Didymus and Ambrosius.
Sir Didymus is awesome. He's just this fearless little shit that will just fuck anyone shit up.
Let me ask you guys this. Maybe I'm crazy. Is Ambrosius the same dog from the beginning of the movie?
It is!
And it's not even the same name. It's a different name.
But again, it also just kind of proves in the fact that this is just a freaking fever drug dream.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, she's going to acknowledge that's the same dog she had. Nope! Doesn't even acknowledge it!
Nope, not at all.
Absolutely not!
I don't... Bless you! I'm holding the baby. She sneezed.
I'm holding the baby.
Toby, for the review, just sneezed. By the way, Annalise, have the police Toby. Shown up yet to get that baby?
Not yet.
Okay.
Anyway, so they're in the Bog of Eternal Stench, and Sir Didymus won't let them cross unless they have his permission.
So can we have your permission to go across?
Yeah, sure, fuck it.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
He literally just says, sure, fuck it up.
So, the bridge breaks, and Ludo has to call his rock friends.
He has the power to control rocks. Ludo is an earthbender.
I was just about to say, Ludo's an earthbender. So, Sir Didymus decides to go along their journey with them, and, they're walking for a little while, and Sarah starts to get hungry. So, Hoggle gives her the peach. This is a roofied peach.
Yeah, Bowie decides to pull the old Cosby.
Oh, wait.
Now, David, here, take this peach and give it to the ladies, and they will do whatever you want to see, anything you would like to see.
Okay, I know what's going on here. So,
what?
The peach is actually downer to try and get her off of her fever dream. And
but she goes into a ballroom as a downer?
Can we all just admit we could all picture David Bowie doing this as soon as she eats the peach? No! I'll be fairest in the land!
It's the poison apple from Snow White.
Tell me you couldn't see him do that.
In that getup? Yeah.
That ballroom dance was straight up pedo 101.
I love that scene!
It's straight up porn.
She looks so pretty, and it's my favorite David Bowie song.
Annalise, David Bowie.
We're talking about
David Bowie's like 100. She's like 16.
I know.
This is wrong.
I know it's wrong.
There's nothing good about this. This is terrible.
This is Luc Besson's level of creepy.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's not, though, is the thing.
It is.
The song's fine, the imagery's fine, but it's like, she is a child!
I mean...
Yeah.
Clearly going through puberty, because they had to strap her down to hide her assets, but still...
Yeah, they had to tape down her boobs. But you know what? You know what? Good on David Bowie, because they wanted to give them, like, a kiss scene, and David Bowie absolutely refused.
Good!
Yes, good for Bowie. Absolutely. This is why Bowie transcends all notions of awesomeness.
This is true. So Sarah breaks out of this fever dream.
But I just want to know what pervert on the writing staff thought of this scene.
I don't know.
This whole idea of the story. I really hope it wasn't Jim.
I hope it wasn't Jim either.
I really hope it wasn't Jim. Maybe it was Brian Froud. Terry Jones, maybe. Lucas.
But I mean, they also went along with it, so they're kind of compliant in it as well.
It was somehow our uncle's fault.
It was the 80s. That shit was just normal back then, I guess.
He's going to hear this and he's going to yell at me later.
I'm sorry.
By the way, just so you guys know, she has a baby with her.
Yes.
I've said that the entire time.
That's the joke.
Again, where are those cops?
Not here.
You're cosplaying way too hard for this podcast.
Yes. We appreciate the effort, but you did not need to go this hard.
The baby's also wearing a red and white shirt.
If there are a few more comments, I'm going to go like, woohoo!
No, Frankie, if you really want to do that, you need to be as ripped as Robin Shaw is in that film.
Well, good thing.
Anyway. Anyway, so Sarah breaks out of the fever dream, and she ends up in this junkyard. I don't really like this scene either, honestly. I don't know. There's just something
honestly,
about
the,
it.
The whole ballroom scene.
Like this scene either.
Honestly, the whole ballroom scene is just a child-friendly Eyes Wide Shut.
When you put it like that.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't.
I mean, I've never seen Eyes Wide Shut, so.
It's a really fucked up movie, but it's also really
good. I've heard it's real messed up.
It's not for the faint of heart.
No.
Yeah. Isn't Tom Cruise in that movie?
Yes, and everyone wants to bang him in that film.
Oh.
Why does everyone want David Bowie and Tom Cruise?
Because David Bowie is
like, I understand. I will understand any woman that says she would bang David. I'm like, I could see it.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to argue that.
I mean, granted, I don't
know. So Sarah's in this like junkyard, and there's this old woman puppet thing that tries to get her to stay there and to hoard all of her like toys and valuables and everything.
You know what would have been actually really creative if it was Connelly in heavy makeup.
That could have been really cool.
She doesn't fucking change her ways and conquers the labyrinth. This is her future.
Right, like that's what she's gonna end up as. That could have been really cool. I didn't even like think about that. That's a really good idea. But so Sarah's like, no, I'm not going to end up like this. And she gets out of the junkyard and meets back up with her friends. And they finally make it to Goblin City. And
they get attacked by a robot.
Yeah, they get attacked by this robot thing who's guarding the gate.
But then Hoggle comes back at the turn of the tide.
Yeah. Oh. Hoggle's there, saves the day, and they make it into Goblin City.
And
so
Hoggle has to the pot is like, sorry I roofied you.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Like, dude.
that's such an awkward conversation. Sorry I drugged you.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, it's okay. What?
In what world?
In what world? Not this one. Excuse me. But they make it into Goblin City, and David Bowie starts freaking out. He's like, oh, hell no. Call out the guard.
Everyone on standby. Let's go.
Yeah, so he sends all of the goblins
pulled
out.
Us off.
Yeah, he sends all the goblins out to try and stop them. I mean, clearly it doesn't work, but...
And Frankie, were you ready for this epic final battle?
He's muted.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He must be raging so hard. Anyway, so Ludo... There's a whole army against the Ludo summons his rock friends.
His rock friends are back.
And Bowie has to look like, drat, I've been foiled by rocks. I've been foiled by rocks.
So Sarah and the gang manage to make it to the castle, and David Bowie has Toby like nowhere to be found. So
and they're always like, "All right, let's go get this fucker. Let's jump his ass.
Let's go get him." And Sarah's like "No, I got to do it alone."
Why?
Why, Sarah? Why? They're
looking at her like, you stupid bitch, why?
Yeah, and they ask her, they're like, why? She's like, because that's the way it's done. Girl!
Well,
if
okay.
That's the way it is done, then that is the way you must do it. Like, no! Go in there, all of you, and jump his ass!
For real, you have a monster that can summon rocks! You're gonna go in a room that's full of rocks!
Get the rocks on your side!
This is gonna be over! So, what are you doing?
Like, girl, use what you have to your advantage.
I don't mean to give notes on your sexual awakening fever dream, Sarah, but when you have a monster that can use rocks, you use the monster.
Exactly. Exactly. But anyway, she goes in there alone, and this sequence is really cool. It's
yeah, this is a really good scene, and the song's really cool because it's like super like depressing. I have no complaints about this scene. I got nothing way to say.
No,
about it.
I mean,
a really
like,
good scene.
I say it's really cool. I don't think I could really. Yeah, there's really nothing to say besides other than it's really good. It works very well, and it's.
I just wish we had
cool.
One more scene of David Bowie playing with his balls. And yes, I know what I said.
So after the staircase scene, Toby disappears. He's somewhere.
The whole world just kind of gets like, I'm
say,
fucking
just, like,
done.
Collapses.
Yeah, I like say, the whole world is collapsed on itself.
And so Dave, like,
oh,
Sarah's
God, she's
on
coming
this.
Down.
Yeah. Oh, she's crashing. She's crashing.
She's coming down.
So Sarah's on this platform and David Bowie walks out and he's in this like feather. Like
he literally walks out again, knowing he's making women cream their tights. And he just has this look like, ladies.
Ladies.
The man has to have known what he was going to do.
I'm sure he
all
did.
Over the world.
I'm
there's
sure
no
he
way.
Did. He had to have known. Like, there's no way. And the package again is
out in front. Better. Let's see. Do we have any more jokes we can make about it?
My apologies. I gotta get my lunch out of the oven.
You had to get what?
I had to get my lunch.
David Bowie's package out of the oven.
Yeah. You had to go get David.
Is that what we're talking about right now? Jesus Christ! I walk away for a second, and Annalise starts drooling.
I can't help it.
I mean, to be fair, 16-year-old Anthony was drooling over Connolly in this film, so not so much 28-year-old Anthony. He'll just drool over for Connolly now.
No, we're actually near the end. We're talking about when David Bowie walks out with that white feather outfit thing.
Are we done yet? I don't know how much longer.
Almost.
And he's rocking his Tesla coil.
But David Bowie tries to make her like one final offer. He's like, please just fear me, love me, do as I say, and I will be your slave.
No.
How does that
work?
That
doesn't sound like a toxic relationship.
It sounds like a very toxic relationship.
I feel that.
So Sarah finally remembers the last lines of her LARPing.
At last!
Hey, full circle to the first scene! Oh my god, yay!
Yay.
But that works, and they ran out of budgets to film a climax, so he was the man who sold the world!
So David Bowie, defeated, throws his ball into the air.
Oh, wait, we did have one last scene of David Bowie playing with his balls.
Yes, we did. He throws the ball up into the air, and Sarah is back at home, Toby's sleeping in his crib, and all is right.
Did it even happen at all?
Apparently it did, because they all fucking show up in her bedroom.
What a terrible dream, Annie M! And you were there, and you were there!
And, yeah. And then, so Sarah's sitting at her mirror, and Hoggle shows up. He goes, should you need us for any reason?
Hoggle,
I
need
you,
them.
Hoggle.
Well, why didn't you say so?
And then they all show up.
And David Bowie is an owl and flies away.
They dance the villain song. It's a dance party. Yay!
Yeah,
no
dance
boys allowed.
Party to dance magic dance.
No boys allowed.
All right, listen. I'm going to go first. Okay.
Oh, we're going to get into the final thoughts on this soon?
I need to get into this. Or I'm going to explode.
He's waited 2 weeks. I think Frankie earned this. You've waited 2 weeks. Go ahead.
I have never been so angry and bored at the same time watching a movie. I didn't give a shit about any of the characters. That baby agrees with me. I didn't care about Jennifer Connelly and her stupid choices to go on this stupid journey to begin with. It's her own goddamn fault.
It's her fault.
I didn't care about David Bowie as the villain. The puppeteering was admittedly, and
but what
I said, the puppeteering was actually pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. The special effects are great in this film.
The only movie character I kind of cared about was Ludo. That's because I thought he was a dumb oaf, and I thought he was kind of adorable.
He's the Rocky of Muppets.
Exactly.
R.I.P. Rocky, we miss you.
The stupid raccoon guy, I didn't care about him. I thought he was annoying.
He's a fox.
Whatever. Sir Deadmas rules.
I didn't care about Hoggle. I thought he was a jerk. The Goblin King wasn't an intimidating villain. The plot is stupid. And not attacking. I feel like if you watch this for the first time as an adult, you're going to hate it. Because this is, all jokes aside, the first time I watched this movie was for this podcast. And I hated every minute of it.
He was texting us. He was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, bitch, you promised!
You have to do it.
I thought about quitting this movie so many times. Because I just was not at all enjoying myself. I think you need to do,
you have to get yourself in mind, I hate this, so I can just fully blast this sucker on the on my podcast.
The thing is, I go into each movie wanting to like it.
Yeah.
And when I don't, I don't. I feel like if I had watched this as a kid, I probably would enjoy it. As a 30-year-old man watching it for the first time, I'm sorry, it does nothing but aggravate me. I'm sorry.
It's not for everyone. That's okay.
I had a couple people watching this with me to try and get me through it.
Uh-huh.
My roommate went back into her room.
She does that on a regular basis. That judgment doesn't count.
She said I can't watch this movie and just went back into my room. Her room. My friend was over. 30 minutes in, he got up and left my house.
Dan is a mini you, so their judgments are skewed.
I'm just saying.
Maybe is being restless.
I just don't think this movie is as amazing as you two seem to. I just don't.
Well, I think it helps that we saw it at younger ages.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it until I was 30.
And you're just a bitter soul, so you can't appreciate the magic of it.
I could if I was fucking 5, but I'm 30.
You're just a bitter 30-year-old man that looks like Hoggle.
I don't look anything like Hoggle, you fuck!
Frankie. I think that Rocky should have been Ambrosius.
Ambrosius! No, that's...
Cloud.
It's Cloud. Cloud is going to be Ambrosius. He's going to be as fluffy as that dog.
But what if it was Rocky?
Don't
Rocky's
do
Ludo!
Yeah, Ludo.
They should have put Rocky.
Hi, Cloud.
Is that your whole final thoughts, Frankie? Or do you have more?
No, that's it. If I think about this movie anymore, my head's going to fucking explode.
Anthony?
All right. This movie is great. Yes, it cannot make any sense. And there are plot holes. There are so many plot holes. And the whole weird Bowie being in love with a 16-year-old and that Peachy is very questionable nowadays. But this is just a great 80s fantasy, which we don't really get any more of these kind of films anymore. Like this, Lady Hawk, Highlander, there's a couple others I had thought of, but I can't remember. With like the synth music and just like these fantasy elements to them. Oh, Legend! Bowie is great in this film. He's having a ball.
He knows what he's doing.
He sparkles. That's the best thing I can say about it. The man sparkles. The puppet work is great. The sets are great except when they're not, with the fiery scene.
And that's the one part of this movie, is the puppeteering and the sets are actually quite good.
Yeah. Well, they actually filmed this literally next door to when they were filming Legend, I think I read. And that's how Brian Hansen and Mia Sara met. And now they're married. Jennifer Connelly starts out rough And I mean rough, but she does get better in the film, not the best.
I don't agree with you. I don't think she ever gets good in this movie. Like, ever. Not once.
And also, again, who doesn't want to see David Bowie playing with his balls?
Me! I don't want to see that!
This film is fun, it's great, a definite must-watch.
No, it is not a must-watch!
But honestly, interesting enough, you guys might like this. I just found out. Hang on, I'm gonna pull it up.
What? What is it? Well,
Annalise, you go first.
I'm gonna go into my final thoughts.
Yes.
I know I say this about like every movie we've watched, but it's so special to me. I was shown this when I was pretty young by our uncle. He's been nagging me to mention him, and I finally am.
By the way, go watch the Gremlins podcast.
But our uncle Pete showed this to me when I was real young, and he knew it was the type of movie that I would love.
Let me stop you for a second.
What?
Petey, this is your fault! It is your fault I'm watching this fucking movie! This is your fault you showed it to her that I had to suffer! This is your fault!
BGW, go watch, listen to the Bucktooth Gremlin podcast.
We're gonna be plugging it every episode now.
We might. They plug us almost in all their episodes.
But, so, this movie is very near and dear to me because of my uncle showing it to me and sharing that love of the movie with me. And I've loved it ever since. Like, I'm 21 now, and I still love this movie.
I mean, but it also helps that it's Jim Henson, and we have, at least all three of us, we have a love for the Muppets and the Henson Company.
That's true, yes. Yes, it's silly. Yes, it's stupid at times, and...
Oh, come on.
But I think if you embrace that, you just have a fun time.
I'm gonna make
a counter-argument. If you've never watched this as a child, and you're an adult now, I would say probably you're better off avoiding it.
I don't know, you're just a bitter person, so some people might be more of it.
I don't know if that's true, because my friend who I showed it to, she was supposed to be on with us today, but she unfortunately couldn't make it. That's okay. But I showed it to her a year ago, and she turns 20 next month, 21 next month, actually. So she's 20 now, and she loves it.
You guys are into the musical puppeteering shit, and you're a lot younger than me. I'm not.
You don't like musicals, though.
All but one, yeah?
Yeah.
And we're talking about a sequel soon.
Nah. But, so this movie is just very special to me, and I have that, I always get that warm, fuzzy feeling whenever I see it, or whenever I'm like thinking about, oh, maybe I'll watch it today. And it's just, it's a lot of fun for me. And of course, it doesn't hurt that David Bowie is just amazing.
He sparkles.
He sparkles. And I love him so much. But those are my final thoughts.
I'm glad he's dead.
What the
fuck? Oh my god!
And you're fired.
Hashtag cancel Frankie.
Yeah, we now will have two shirt designs. Hashtag cancel Annalise and cancel Frankie.
God.
Okay. If this spinning wheel doesn't land on me this time, I'm out quitting.
Well, hold on. I just want to bring this up. This film opened at number 8 at the U.S. box office, placing it behind Karate Kid Part 2, Back to School, Top Gun, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah,
damn,
bombed.
What a lineup that is.
This movie bombed.
Do we want to... Go ahead.
But goddamn, that'd be a good lineup in the theater.
Do we want... I don't know, because we already spun the wheel last episode, and so do you think we should just do it next episode?
No, you're spinning the wheel.
Right.
Why? Well,
you're spinning the wheel!
We're not going to spin the wheel next episode.
Yes, exactly.
That's fine.
Okay, all right. I am spinning in 3, 2, 1.
Spin that fucking wheel! Come on!
If this doesn't land on me, I'm done.
It's still spinning. Spin. spin.
What?
Frankie, you're gonna be mad.
I'm done! It landed on either Anthony or Annalise. Probably Annalise.
It landed on Anthony.
He doesn't get two in a row.
No, Annalise got two in a row. We each said we'll get two in a row. We'll each get two in a row, then we'll automatically be taken off the board.
Oh, yes. Jesus Christ.
We agreed on that in like the second episode.
Yes.
I've only picked one of these stupid things.
I think I'm going to be merciful here now if I'm going to look at my shelf here because I didn't think I'd get the pick.
This is getting frustrating.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be you next week.
Well, he has a better chance because I'll be off the board.
Right.
Let's see. What do I want to go with? I'm going to be merciful this time.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
Oh, God.
Keep it up. I may just go with a certain film I do have on reserves. But I'm deciding to be merciful for you, Frankie.
Oh, God, so that means it's going to be bad for me.
You'll never know. You know what? We're going to review Lost Boys.
Do we? Oh,
how the fuck are we going to get to Lost Boys?
That movie.
I'm not mad at Lost Boys. I just don't know how I'm going to watch it.
That movie.
Yeah, but it's a ridiculous film. There's so much you can make fun of with Lost Boys.
Hey, it's your pick, so.
Yeah, but what? How am I going to watch it?
I own it.
Yeah, you own it. How the fuck am I going to watch it?
You'll have to watch it with him.
God damn it. Okay. I guess Christmas it is.
Yeah, so
on Christmas.
Oh, I should have done a Christmas film.
Okay, revise it. Do a Christmas movie.
All right, you know what? You think
what?
Let's just do Muppet Christmas Carol.
Is that on Disney Plus?
That is on Disney Plus.
All right.
Okay.
A Muppet.
Let's just do Muppet. We're gonna do a Christmas special.
It might come out after Christmas.
No, next week we have to take a break. Personal reasons.
We may or may not.
Depending on if we record earlier in the week, might not. But if there's not an episode out by next Friday, then we're gonna be taking a break for a week. But it's possible that we'll record earlier in the week. You'll know. You'll see it on our page.
Yay. Yes.
All right. Well, that was elaborate.
I think we've hurt Frankie enough. Let's give him a little break before the torture continues. We're not monsters.
Yes, you are.
Next week, or whenever we get it out to you, our next review will be for Grease 2.
Oh, boy.
So we might have 2 coming out within the week?
Possibly. But look out for those. So the next one's going to be Grease 2, and then the one after will be Muppet Christmas Carol. And then we will decide from there. I think we'll probably spin the wheel next on the Muppet Christmas Carol episode. How about that?
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Yeah.
All right.
And my name will not be on the board, so it'll be between Annalise and Frankie with that one.
It's going to be Annalise, because this fucking thing never lands on me.
You never know. It's all about chance.
It's all about the fate.
That's right.
I fucking hate everything.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to do my dance, magic dance.
If you excuse me, I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
I have to keep playing with this baby.
All right.
And I'm stressed. Are the cops coming?
I don't hear sirens yet.
Okay.
Good night, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.